Today, we're diving deep into a topic that impacts each and every one of us, whether we realize it or not. As I'm working with a lot of adults these days, I'm noticing a lot more adult children, a term that describes individuals whose childhood experiences of uncertainty deeply affect their adult life. And this reminded me that there is an inner child in all of us as adults. So let us explore the landscapes of trauma and the concept of the inner child, that part of us that holds the key to our deepest emotions and memories. So whether you're on the freeway, taking a break at work, or cozying up at home, I invite you to take this time for yourself. Listen, reflect, and perhaps even discover new ways to nurture your inner child and heal from past traumas. Grab your favorite drink, find a comfortable spot, and let's get started.
You're listening to Mind Manners, hosted by licensed psychotherapist Albert Nguyen. Albert helps his clients overcome past trauma, change their mindset, and accelerate their personal and professional development. This podcast covers a wide range of mental health and self-development topics, with each episode offering an actionable step towards a better you. If you're on a wellness journey, keep listening.
Now, if you're tuning in for the first time, let me extend a warm welcome. This podcast is our safe space to discuss the intricacies of mental and emotional health, to share stories of resilience, and to uncover the paths that lead us toward healing and wholeness. In today's session, we're peeling back the layers to truly understand trauma's profound impact on our lives. We're not just talking about the events themselves, but the lingering presence they hold over our adult lives, shaping our thoughts, emotions, and reactions in ways we might not even be aware of. But here's the thing, it's not all about the challenges. It's also about the hope, the strategies, and the support available to us as we journey towards healing. It's about acknowledging our inner child, understanding their pain, and learning how to offer the love and care they've always needed. In our journey through life, we come across moments that deeply challenge us, moments that can leave imprints on our souls. These moments, or rather these experiences, are what we call trauma. It's a word that carries so much weight, yet it's deeply personal and unique to each of us. As a therapist, I've seen firsthand how trauma can be like a shadow, silently shaping how we view ourselves and the world around us. It's not merely a memory or an event that happened in the past. It's an emotional imprint that deeply influences our thoughts, feelings, and reactions. Let me paint you a picture. Imagine standing beside a serene lake, its surface so calm and smooth, it mirrors the sky above. This lake is like our mind at peace, undisturbed. But then, unexpectedly, a stone is thrown into the center. The impact sends ripples across the water, disturbing its once peaceful existence. This stone, this sudden disruption, symbolizes trauma. Just as the stone's impact creates ripples across the lake, trauma disrupts our internal peace, sending waves through our emotional and psychological well-being. The aftermath of trauma isn't just about that initial moment of impact. It's about the ripples that come after, the emotional reactions, the psychological turmoil, and the shifts in how we perceive our sense of safety, self-worth, and outlook on the future. And these reactions, they can catch us off guard, triggered by something as simple as a word, a sound, or even a scent, pulling us back into the depths of our past experiences and reminding us of the emotional imprints we carry within. But here's something I've learned. Not all experiences of trauma are the same. What overwhelms one person might not affect another in the same way. This variance is what makes trauma so complex and why understanding its nuances is crucial for healing. Each person's trauma comes with what I call a trauma network, and each network is as unique as a person's fingerprint. In our time together today, we'll explore not just the nature of trauma, but also the paths toward healing that I've seen work. Healing is a journey, one that doesn't erase the past, but allows us to live more fully in the present and look toward the future with hope. Trauma may be part of our story, but it doesn't have to be the whole narrative. We have more to write. The story isn't over. And I want you all to hear this. We need to break the silence. Together, we can explore strategies that provide a beacon of light in the darkness, guiding us toward a place of safety and peace. At the heart of our discussion today is the concept of the inner child. This is the part of us that holds all our childhood memories and emotions, both joyful and painful. It's this inner child that often bears the brunt of our traumas, carrying them into our adult lives. When we talk about healing trauma, we're really talking about acknowledging and nurturing this inner child. It's about understanding that the fears, insecurities, and patterns we experience today are often echoes of our past. Healing is this beautiful, messy process of acknowledging our inner child's presence. It's saying, hey, I see you. I hear what you've been through, and it's okay. It's understanding that our fears and insecurities today aren't just coming out of nowhere. By nurturing our inner child, we're not trying to rewrite our history. Instead, we're learning to coexist with it in a way that's kinder, more compassionate, and maybe even more empowering. It's about transforming our relationship with those parts of our past that hurt, finding ways to comfort and reassure that little one inside that they're safe now and that they are loved, no conditions attached. Imagine the relief in knowing that you're not just a sum of your past experiences, but a complex, resilient individual capable of growth and healing. That's the heart of the journey. It's not about erasing the scars, but about learning to wear them with a sense of understanding and peace. After all, healing is really about allowing our inner child to finally put down that heavy backpack and let go of all that weight and run free, maybe for the first time in a long time. I know we all wish and hope that there was some kind of magic pill or secret method to recover and heal from our traumas, but it doesn't work that way. And honestly, I think we deserve more than some cookie-cutting method. Navigating the path to healing from trauma is as unique as each of our stories. It's not about following a predetermined map. It's more like creating our own, using a mix of tools and techniques that resonate with us personally. Whether it's exploring the depths of our inner child, engaging in cognitive behavioral therapy to reshape our thought patterns, or weaving a safety net of supportive people around us, healing is an individual journey. Among these strategies, empathy stands out as a beacon of light. Empathy for ourselves, allowing us to be gentle and understanding of our own pain, and empathy from others, providing us with a sense of being seen and understood. Validation, this simple yet profound act of recognizing someone's feelings as genuine and important, can make all the difference. It's like someone reaching out in a dark room to say, I see you, I hear the tremble in your voice, and I'm here to tell you that what you're feeling is important. This empathetic connection acts as a bridge between isolation and community, between self-doubt and self-acceptance. It's about creating a space where our feelings aren't just acknowledged, but are embraced as part of our human experience. Imagine the relief and liberation that come from knowing your emotions are not an overreaction, but a valid response to your experiences. Empathy and validation are more than therapeutic tools. They're the essence of human connection, offering us a mirror in which our true selves are reflected back with kindness and acceptance. It's a powerful reminder that in our journey of healing, we're not wandering alone. There's a whole community out there, ready to offer a listening ear, a nod of understanding, and a hand to hold. And it's in these connections that we find one of the most healing forces available to us. Before we move on, I want to talk about compassion. It's important. So I want to share a quick story. Compassion is all about being fair and kind to everyone, including ourselves, which can be hard, especially if you've been hurt before. It might surprise you to hear that I've worked with people who've made some pretty big mistakes, like sex offenders or those who've been involved in violence for quite a while. My main focus is helping people who've been through tough times as kids, dealing with all sorts of bad situations. But I also believe in helping those who've caused harm. So why would I do that? Especially when most people would rather keep their distance. Well, hear me out. When I was in my 20s, exploring life and learning as much as I could, I really got into different spiritual and religious teachings. That's when I realized that making a real difference means understanding everyone's experiences. To have compassion, that meant understanding human nature, the good and the evil. I truly believe we cannot appreciate the depths of goodness without accepting and understanding evil, much in the same way we cannot understand what happiness is without sadness, light without dark. And when it comes to cultivating compassion for human welfare, I believe I need to be unbiased to an extent so that I can fully understand the full spectrum of human psychology. Has it helped? As a therapist, it has helped tremendously, allowing me to not be easily shocked at all with what people talk about. And it helps me provide a very safe space for everyone to explore the true depths of themselves, all the goodness in them, and even the dark shadows of their minds. Not everyone's ready to take on that challenge, and that's okay, but I think to really appreciate the good things in life, we have to be willing to look at the hard stuff too. By accepting everyone's story, we open the door to healing in ways we might not have thought possible. Compassion is like a superpower. It really helps us heal. Whether you practice compassion towards yourself or others, the compassion comes from within you. So whenever you feel and practice it, you are compassion. In my work, I see a lot of people who are emotionally stuck. They're stuck blaming themselves or pointing fingers at others, and over time, it's like they're trapped in a maze with no way out. The thing is, blaming ourselves or things we can't control just makes us feel powerless and trapped in a cycle of negative emotions and behaviors that can really hurt our well-being. It's like being caught in a loop that keeps reinforcing all those bad feelings about ourselves. And before we know it, our whole perspective on life gets twisted by this blame game. If we don't break free, this pattern just grows and starts to affect everything in our lives, if it hasn't already. So, what do? We need to let go, not forget. But we need to let go. And how? Well, we can't talk about healing without talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a crucial step in all forms of healing emotional wounds, not for the sake of those who may have caused us harm, but for ourselves. It's about processing our grief, confronting our emotions, and ultimately finding a way to let go of the pain that holds us back. Forgiveness is about navigating through a storm of emotions, confronting the hurt head on, and then somehow finding a way to move beyond with it. This journey isn't about giving a free pass to those actions that wounded us. Instead, it's about loosening the tight grip those memories have on our hearts. Think of forgiveness as a form of self-liberation. It's acknowledging that holding on to resentment and anger is like carrying a heavy anchor. It drags us down, keeping us tethered to a past we can't change. By choosing to forgive, we're essentially lifting that anchor, allowing ourselves to drift towards a future where we're no longer defined by our past hurts. But let's be really clear, because a lot of people are resistant to the idea of forgiveness when I initially bring it up in therapy. Forgiveness is not about erasing the past or pretending the hurt never happened. Not at all. It's about acknowledging our pain, giving ourselves permission to feel it, and then gently setting it aside. It's a way to reclaim our narrative, to say, yes, this happened to me, but it's not all of me. I'm choosing to move forward, carrying my lessons, not my scars. This step towards forgiveness doesn't happen overnight. It's a process, often a slow one, filled with moments of doubt and resistance. And that's okay. It's all part of the process. It's a testament to our strength and our ability to grow from our experiences. And by embracing forgiveness, we open ourselves up to new possibilities, new joys, and the freedom to live fully, unburdened by the past. It's in this space of forgiveness that we find our true selves, ready to step into a future bright with promise. So remember, forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting or condoning what happened. It means reclaiming your power from those past experiences, allowing you to move forward with your life. This journey is tough, and honestly, no one should have to go at it alone. Yet, often the source of our deepest wounds stems from those closest to us, a parent, partner, or someone we trusted implicitly. This breach of trust is the ultimate betrayal, shaking the very foundations of our sense of safety and trust in others. And sometimes this means we have to seriously evaluate when to salvage, set clear boundaries, or cut ties completely with the people who we can no longer trust, and move forward with a stronger and more refined understanding of what trust means to you so that future healthy relationships can foster. It's within this context that finding a supportive community becomes not just helpful, but essential. In therapy, I've been privileged to witness the courage it takes for individuals to confront traumas inflicted by loved ones. Opening up about such experiences requires immense bravery, particularly because the trauma is entangled with complex emotions of love, loyalty, and betrayal. When a person decides to share these deeply personal experiences, they're not just seeking to heal from the events themselves, but also from the profound sense of betrayal that accompanied them. The harsh reality is that disclosing trauma, especially when it involves someone close, is fraught with risks. The fear of not being believed, or worse, being blamed, can exacerbate the sense of isolation and pain. That's why the process of finding and choosing a supportive tribe, one that offers unconditional acceptance and understanding, is crucial. This network of support represents a safe harbor, a place where fears of judgment are alleviated and the journey of rebuilding trust can cautiously begin. Learning to feel safe again in the wake of such betrayal is undeniably challenging. It involves navigating a labyrinth of emotions, from anger and grief to longing for connection and love. This is where the power of a compassionate community truly shines. Surrounding yourself with individuals who validate your experiences, who offer empathy rather than judgment, and who support you unconditionally can be transformative. It's within the safety of this chosen family that we can gradually start to dismantle the walls we've built around our hearts. Rebuilding trust, especially after it's been shattered by those we love, is a gradual process. It requires patience, self-compassion, and the gentle guidance of those committed to walking this path with us. Yes, the betrayal by a loved one adds a complex layer to the trauma, making the healing process all the more intricate. Yet, it's also in this context that the strength and support of a nurturing tribe become invaluable. This community doesn't just offer a path to feeling safe again. It embodies the very essence of hope and resilience, reminding us that despite the ultimate betrayals, regeneration of trust and safety is possible with the right support. Often the path to healing is illuminated by the support of professionals or support groups, a choice that's not only acceptable but advisable. These groups often operate under a framework of ethics and principles, offering a microcosm of the broader healing journey designed to lessen your worries and mitigate your pain. It takes a village to raise a child, the saying goes. Well, it also takes a community to heal one. Finding your tribe, those who can walk with you through the darkest times, is an essential part of the healing. One last thing I do want to mention, though, is that getting through trauma isn't just about surviving. It's about what comes after, the journey of self-discovery that often follows. It's in these moments, in the aftermath of our struggles, where we're given a unique opportunity. And this is something I secretly hope and want for all of my patients, whether they've experienced a serious trauma or not. And that's being of service to others and making a real impact. I'm convinced that this shift from focusing on me to embracing we is natural progression in healing and maturity. It shows us we're part of something much larger. I see it as one of the most empowering and healing actions we can take for ourselves. We can take the pain, the hardships we've endured, and turn them into something incredibly powerful. It's about transforming our suffering into a source of strength, especially when we channel it into acts of service for others. There's something profoundly healing about the act of giving. Sometimes we find ourselves searching for miracles, for signs that everything will turn out okay. But what if I told you that in these moments, you have the potential to be the miracle that you've always needed and possibly the miracle that someone else is looking for? This realization isn't just about healing ourselves, but about forging connections, about building a community bound by shared experiences and a collective will to overcome. By transforming our pain into a force for good, we are not just healing, we are contributing to a larger tapestry of recovery. It's about finding our place in the world, about discovering a sense of self-worth and purpose that might have felt lost in the depths of our trauma. And let me tell you, the act of stepping out and becoming a beacon of hope and resilience for others is one of the most powerful paths to recovery. You will quickly see that you are not alone and you are more than worthy and valuable. I've seen it time and time again, in my own life, my colleagues, and my patients, the incredible healing that takes place when someone decides to make their journey about more than just their own recovery. It's about standing together, hand in hand, in a mission that transcends individual pain. This, my friends, is where the deepest healing can take place. It's a path I've walked alongside many, and one I wholeheartedly advocate for as we all navigate our way toward healing. When we choose to harness and transform our pain into the strength needed to rise and shoulder the monumental task of contributing to the mission to be part of the solution to end suffering, we're driven by a deep intrinsic motivation that's unshakable. Inside, you might be just one person, but in essence, you stand for many, driven by a powerful force within that no one can take from you. Take a moment to take that in. Now, as we conclude today's session, I want to leave you with a message of hope. Healing is within reach. This journey, though filled with challenges, is also ripe with opportunities for deep personal growth and transformative healing. Your inner child, the core part of you that has weathered life's storms, deserves recognition, love, and nurturing towards healing. You're not meant to navigate this path in isolation. Your story matters. And you have to take a stand for your story. If family or friends can't be your support system, I understand. I get it. Sometimes, even with the best intentions, they might not be equipped to provide the support you need. And frankly and unfortunately, some of them may be part of your trauma. That's why, as we've discussed, there are professionals and supportive communities dedicated to helping people just like you. And I hugely advocate that when it comes to trauma, getting professional help is perhaps the best first step you can take. Don't hesitate to reach out. At OptiMind Counseling, we're committed to offering support through workshops, support groups, and personalized therapy. Together, we'll tap into the resilience and strength within you. Courage is not always a grand gesture. Sometimes courage is the quiet voice at the end of the day saying, I will try again. So don't give up hope. Thank you for spending this time with me on Mind Manners for this important topic. Healing starts with understanding and is propelled by taking steps forward. Until we meet again, cherish yourself and your inner child. You both are deserving of peace and joy. If today's conversation resonated with you, consider sharing it with someone in need of these words. For additional resources and support, please visit our website at www.optimindcounseling.com or join us again for more sessions that aim to enlighten, inspire, and empower. I'm Albert, and this was Mind Manners. Embrace courage, kindness, and the ever-evolving journey that makes you you.
Thanks for tuning in to Mind Manners with Albert Nguyen. We hope you found value in this episode. If you'd like to work with Albert one-on-one, visit OptiMindCounseling.com to learn more about his private practice. Looking to join a community of like-minded individuals? Search Mind Manners Podcast Community on Facebook and join our group to connect with others on their wellness journeys. Finally, if you haven't already done so, please write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast and let us know you're enjoying the show.